He tells me I don't like to listen to things properly, so they sent a voice message. It's something to do with banks. I have no idea what they're talking about because I can't listen to a voice message while I'm on air, unfortunately. But it says, help, 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 the bank's Royal Bank. Another piece of language I can't use on the radio with their money. I don't know. I've listened to people complaining about banks for the longest while, and I've tried to tell them that there are options to banks and that they should use those options to banks. I don't know what the issue is. I know Royal Bank, and I brought it up, I think, before anybody else did, because I saw in Trinidad the Royal Bank was discontinuing over-the-counter services, and I said it was only a matter of time before it got to Barbados. I think they said like about 3 months later. So if they're just discovering some of the issues, well, maybe I don't listen well either or talk properly. Brass Tacks, good morning. Communication skills lacking.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, ma'am.
You talk properly.
Not according to my sisters.
You talk very
They ask
properly.
Me when I talk properly again. And I tell them when I can't talk anymore. Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?
Some people hear, but they don't listen.
Okay.
I love to hear Ms. Nasser's contribution. It's always good. And yourself. I think the Brass Tacks theme, each of you have your own characteristics, and you say what you have to say, and that's it. I think I love my Peter. Peter's a teaser. Peter likes to tease people, and they like to fret.
Ma'am, you know how many times Peter sits here, right? And says things on the radio. I look at him, I go, but I'm not doing that, Peter. You know, Dennis gave me the hand, and Dennis laughing at my face straight, you know. But that's Peter, that's the way he talks, you know.
That's the way he speaks, and they think that he's unnerved. And he's unnerved, it's playful for him.
I think he enjoys it.
And with Mr. Ellis, he's like, listen, you know, give me the facts, or, you know, you're boring me. Because you're not making a contribution, you know, have a nice day. Yeah. I mean, that is what that's what Brass Tacks is about. Don't stay there and take the licks. I don't know why they want to beat you up.
Yeah,
because
I sit here.
You one minute, and then they don't love you the next.
Yeah.
But I find Barbadians are like that. You know, like they go through seasons. So this is your season now that they're trying to beat you up for a little while, though.
Yeah,
but I think now you need to tell them that the season's over.
No, it's not over. It's never going to be over. Because, ma'am, you see, and that's why I smiled. Yesterday I heard a comment, for example, that I laughed. I sat and smiled. If Lisa was like Peter, she would say that I was smiling. Someone was asking about the role of the media in light of the election results and
right.
said that the media would have to, you know, play an active role. And I think Lisa said the media always plays an active role.
Uh-huh.
And I chuckled because it was just last week that I sat here and heard this radio station and the nation being chastised for being one-sided, bringing the government down, always criticizing.
Uh-huh.
And now you're asking that basically the media does that now because there is no quote-unquote opposition voice in the House. So you're asking the media now to criticize, to critique, and to hold the government's feet to the fire. When a few weeks ago you were calling it biased
yeah.
activity. You see, when you make those kinds of, and I usually tell the one or two people that I talk to this, be careful on whose hands you stamp when you're climbing the ladder to success, in case you need them to catch you if you fall off. Because if you undermine and criticize the media for the job that they are doing, when you need them, you can't ask them to do it because they will have no teeth.
Right.
They'll have no credibility. That's why I always talk about undermining the organs of our governance. If we undermine the police, if we undermine the revenue authority, if we undermine the GIS, if we undermine the Office of Public Counsel, if we undermine all these things, who are we going to call on when we need assistance? Nobody?
Gotta call on the Lord because
well,
can't call the media.
But you see, and that's what, no, this is the other thing I tell the people. Suppose, and that's what I tell people, maybe I go to the wrong God because there are times that I cry out. And I'll be honest, I see something that I think is wrong and I say, What are you doing about this? You know what you're telling me? I showing you.
Uh-huh.
And I go, so you mean I supposed to fix it? But I can't do nothing about this. I ask you, what are you doing about this? And you tell me, I showing you? That's uh-huh. no answer. But, you know.
That's not the but, answer.
Well, it's not the answer I wanted, but it's the answer I get. You know, but on a serious note, there are times when we feel that we're powerless to do things. We feel that, well, I feel that sometimes I get told by people I care about, you know, get a job one of these days. And I go, so I'm not working now. Okay, I'm having a good time. But when you come across somebody who genuinely says to you, I heard you say so and so and so, and it meant something to me, thank you. Ma'am, that means more than all the other things people talk about, you know. Because it says that one person got something to hold on to when they needed something to hold on to. I have a chronic non-communicable illness called myasthenia gravis. People who have it can't chew. Sometimes I can't chew. I can't swallow. Sometimes I choke. I slur. There are people who have died.
I know.
And I haven't. There are people who I've seen in wheelchairs, and I'm not. And when I try to speak on the behalf of those who can't, and I get chastised by those who can't, I feel it more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I
know the disease. A friend of my mother I used to look after had that. And she died from it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
I am told it's a death sentence. I'm not going to get away from it. You know? But, so I tell people, you know, I live every day as though it's my life, my last. Because that's it.
Well, there's a God. It doesn't have to be your death sentence.
Well,
it can be said by the doctors. Well, that's what they're there to do. Well, but my God can say it different.
My doctor.
Because he still has you here.
My doctor says to me, it's a miracle. I shouldn't be doing what I do. So I guess. I guess.
God knows
that. I guess.
But Brastant and all of you have enlightened me. I can't speak for anybody else. But I'm sure other people who hear and listen, because there's a lot I didn't know about politics, a lot I didn't know, period. And not just Brastant, but VOB does a tremendous job in all areas. And when it comes to Brastant, it's very enlightening. It can be entertaining sometimes.
That's what radio is supposed to do.
You really have. I know I heard Ronnie say, he can't handle Brastant. I think Ronnie never put the phone down in people's ears or tell them off. I can handle it, and I think I have a strong back.
Mm.
I can handle it. You know, I might give you two words, and you know, and I ain't gonna say sorry neither. So I might just pull the plug on you, and then my day is over. Well, I wouldn't last an hour, so I can't say my day is over. But you know, I wouldn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean to say this, you know, the way they're coming in, why people are coming in now to pick on you and to pick on Peter and then talk about, you know, your station don't do this, your station don't do... If your station come up with things first, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't turn my radio off, at 4 o'clock in the morning I hear something that I don't hear on any other station.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't see it on or TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wait, they didn't get the news? When they can get it? And I'm like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. And I'm still listening and I'm not hearing anything. I'm like, okay, that means he had a dream or they probably had the wrong news. But I mean to say, y'all do a lot. You can't please everyone. Y'all have a standard. Stick to it. This is a new season for everybody. Just continue to do what you do in your way. I mean, some things will hurt. I mean, you're only human. I mean, people can't just be saying unkind things about y'all in the station all the time.
That's what I tell people.
And nobody
we are human.
Can encourage and nobody can't say anything good. I mean, what do you have? Swine? It's not Swine Station.
I thank you, ma'am.
You know, this is a very knowledgeable station. And that gives sometimes some revelation. It gives me a whole lot of revelation. Because it shows me that, you know, we in Barbados, like NASA just said, we better wake up.
Ma'am, I you know, people get personal about their radios and they get very attached to programming and individuals, and it's one of the things that happens. Thank you for your comments. The emailer sent me the message. The WhatsApper sent me the detailed message. It says the bank in Old Town, I'm on sick leave for about 4 months. First thing, they did not want to change the NIS check at the bank. Second thing, whenever I leave money on the bank and go back, the money is disappearing. I was annoyed when I went back last week to change a check from a construction company. The lady told me to have the church change. I have a service charge. I also happened to the money from my national insurance. She tells me there's no money there. I get annoyed. She said every week money has to be taken off. There's something that we need about to know the banks in Barbados, because I got annoyed. They called a lady who told me I cannot keep my money on the bank. They'd have to discontinue my service so that they can deduct service charge every week and some other charge every month. I am so annoyed. Sir, the banks have introduced charges on various things. They have put notices in the newspaper, because I've seen some of them, saying that there'll be charges for balances that fall below a minimum amount. There are other accounts that have service charges applied wherever they care to. Said before, and I'll say again, it is something I've spoken about ad nauseum, because I spoke about my personal experiences with another bank and deducting from what I thought were my children's savings accounts for non-use, and I moved my account to the Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited, where I've remained ever since. And I have no problem with them, except I can't write a check, but people don't like checks today anyhow, so I use the card. And it works. If you particularly like the bank, and by the way, I used to work at Royal Bank for 11 years. So it's not that I don't like the bank, or I don't like the people in the bank, because I know some of the people there still. If you have a problem with service charges and the bank's taking out service charge and not wanting to cash your checks, sir, there are options. You make the decision where you want to put your money. West Indies 54 without loss, continuing. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hey, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yes, based on my own anecdotal evidence, I've been seeing a rise in the number of people, persons who are not differently able, parking in the differently able spots. Even though myself, I'm not differently able, it concerns me somewhat, and I was wondering if they could, if we could either create legislation, or if there's legislation existing already that, for instance, okay, well, I know they already give cards to persons who are differently able or transporting differently able persons, and they hang up those cards like on the mirror and whatnot. With those cards, so if somebody comes in a disabled parking spot, I'm wondering if we could start this initiative where you put a wheel clamp on the wheel if they don't have the card displayed. And then the only way the wheel clamp will come off is if the person, when they come back out to their vehicle, they would have to go to the treasury. There would be a ticket on the thing, and they would take the ticket. They would go to the treasury. They would pay the money. The money will go to the government, obviously, and then the wheel clamps will come off. What do you think about that?
So I will. I have no comment to make on that, sir. This is down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Hello. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning. Okay, let's try another line. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Okay. Now, Mr. Johnson, I'm going to be very brief, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm calling on the previous administration that who have Barbados right now in the state that it's in. I'm asking that all of them put their head to the plow and let them pay back all of this money. Hello?
So I'm listening to you, you know.
Yes.
I heard everything you just said word for word. echoed right. in the background because the radio is playing behind you. I heard
okay,
you.
Okay, that's yeah. correct. That's correct. Mm-hmm. You want me to lower it down?
No, it's okay. You go ahead. Once it don't disturb you. But I just okay. hear me in the background. Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Johnson. I was listening to you. Mm. You're a good man, right? And I do listen to Brass Stuff every day. And you get criticized. Don't mind the criticism. My point is this here, right? Mm. This previous administration that has gone out, I want all of them to pay back every single cent and then lock them up. That's all I have to say.
Okay, sir.
Okay?
All right, sir. So the only reason people get locked up is for when they're convicted of a crime. And unless we get to the stage where there has been a crime and somebody has been given due process, we're gonna have this. It is unfortunate, eh? It really is unfortunate that we have arrived at a situation where there is so much pent-up anger, animosity, resentment about the state of affairs in the country, where people are venting and looking for some body to either blame or lock up. And if after the passage of time and those sentiments cool a little bit, and we still have not found a way to grow, mend, improve the situation in our country, we're going to find ourselves blaming another set of people for the position that we find ourselves in. Barbados needs to start earning its way in the world the way it used to. And I want to take the time to just make this comment while Graham gets some more calls on the line. When I talk about orderliness in Barbados and the way things in Barbados used to be ordered, roll back the clock to the 1960s. Those who were around in those days, tell those who weren't around in those days. Those who came post 1980, tell them. Barbados was a society that was agriculturally based. So you had these large tracts of agricultural land growing cane, managed by a minority. That's what they were. Those plantations had wells. They were irrigated properly because those who owned it understood that irrigation was necessary for their crops to grow. So we had a water supply because of that structure and system. When progress overtook us to the point where we paid little or no attention to our wells or drainage or sewage or disposal of garbage, the order that we upset was replaced by disorder. And all the things we suffered was as a result of poor planning, improper execution, and ignorance, basically. We lost our common sense because we took the advice of people who were educated incorrectly, let me put it that way. And what we need to do is go back to a sense of orderliness and understanding how and why things worked the way they worked. There was a fire at Paradise recently where roofs burnt for apparently no reason. You think there was no reason why they burnt? Really? I don't, but the gentleman with the bank, for example. If the Central Bank of Barbados does not regulate the charges that banks are allowed to put on their customers, if they use moral suasion or they're freed up to the point where banks can do what they feel like for charges, who are you going to turn to? Now, when people talk about starting a national bank, if they compete unfairly, well, you heard Ms. Gale yesterday. She's the one who is learned in that respect, and she'll tell you about unfair competition and what would happen. Because I am sure the other banks would get together and say it's unfair competition if one bank suddenly decided I can give you 10% interest or 8% interest or whatever it is people are asking for. And my question is this, where will the interest come from Because if they take your money in savings and they have no way of generating income on that savings, they won't be able to pay you interest. Leroy McLean sent an email that has some interesting ideas about what to do with the money in banks. I hope he gets a chance to call you and tell you about it. I prefer he tell you and I talk to him about it rather than I tell you what he said. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right.
I want to support you in your statements that you just said about how we have allowed ignorance to prevail upon us and allow our sense of responsibility to, I don't know how to put it, we probably...
So we lost it, it lost.
We lost it, we lost the plot, we allowed ourselves to go into a state of some comfort zone when there really was no comfort. And I'm reading, I'm following up, following this from the article by Tony Bess in today's paper. Mm-hmm. And I quote, he said, Barbados now has one of the world's largest debt profiles amounting to more than 170% of GDP. Most of it accumulated after the 2008 and 2013 elections. And the effects of the Great Recession, the Stuart government is being portrayed in North America as the architects of the near collapse of the economy.
I saw that, yeah.
So, you know, we like to blame, but we have to say that we really probably allowed our responsibilities to fall a bit. And we are in a bad position. So all I'm saying is that rather than a lot of us take time to call and say things against every effort that is being made to stabilize the situation, I want to share that I have been a regular traveler to Jamaica. And that country went through a bad recession, and it was due to bad management as well. But remarkably, they have turned around the situation, and they had an IMF program, and they are rebuilding. But even in the presence of that rebuilding, their dollars fell yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It still went down. Mm-hmm. It had been strengthening, but it's slight again. So, I mean, you know, I just want to draw to the attention of Barbadians that, look, if every effort is being made to stabilize the situation and avoid us going the devaluation route, I think it behooves us to act responsibly and work with the situation in view of avoiding what could be a lot worse situation. I don't know what you think.
This Sunday, we'll be looking at the economy on Down to Brass Tacks, and one of the things we're trying to do is to get someone who was involved in the Jamaican process to be a part of the program to share their knowledge on what Jamaica's done, what it did, and what it's going through. So the problems start to arise when one has to justify the value of your dollar. Once you have a floating currency, mm-hmm. where you have to justify the value of your currency, you will have the issues of fluctuation in revaluating and devaluating of currencies. And it is a long and difficult process. And I don't think there is any country I can think of that can say, We did it, and we came out smiling. I can't think of one. Maybe there is one somewhere. But I can't think of it. Talking about countries that boast petroleum products and natural resources.
Argentina.
They have all sorts of resources. They just can't get monetized.
That's right. I mean, vast resort. A person living in the Argentina, and I have visited there as well, have no reason to live outside of Argentina. They don't need to get anything from anywhere. Mm-hmm. Everything is there to eat. And it's a remarkable country that way.
Mm-hmm.
Flat land, all over and they can grow food. Mm-hmm. Water is right there.
Right.
But yet, still can't get it stabilized.
Yep.
So,
you know, and sir, that comes back to the question of managing your resources and this word called confidence. Mm-hmm. That we talked so much about prior to the election campaign, and we seem to have, you know, found some way to put it. When people believe that you can deliver what you say you deliver, you're in an easy position. When they don't believe that you can, it doesn't matter what you have. One of the my pet subjects, the hospitality industry, people talk a lot about overpriced and we high-priced destination. And I always say to them, if I charge you $100 for something, and when you get it, you feel you have $500 worth, you come back and pay $100 again, you know.
It's
when I charge you $100 and you feel you only get $10, then you vex with me.
That's correct.
So it is not that a destination is pricey or not, it is what you deliver for the price.
That's correct.
So value, a man is value. Going to value for money, yeah.
Yes.
So if a guy feels, okay, I can come to this place and this is what I get, and this is what I pay for it, and this is what I do. Well, you know, they do it all the time with a smile. When that's they feel they're not, they get vexed with you. So sometimes these countries have, but it is how they manage it that becomes a problem.
And
we get killed for it, boy.
Hmm?
And they get nailed for it.
Yes, but what you said there about the ability to maintain the word or the value is a critical thing because, you know, like, if you say that you are going to deliver this and you deliver it, that builds confidence. And people believe that they can trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it credit rating, and we use a lot of fancy
words for it, yeah.
Yes, but the people of old just used to call it trust.
Trust.
Mm-hmm. It means that I have confidence. Now, when you have confidence, you know, it's like you come and you borrow $20 from me, and you tell me you're going to bring it back on Friday, and you brought it back.
Mm-hmm.
If you come next week and ask for 30, there's going to be no question.
Right.
Because confidence is there that he brings back. He keeps his word.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to work on developing that so that as a nation, we can be that to the international community. Thanks for...
Thank you as well, sir. And starting with our citizens, because we must also deliver to our citizens what we say
we're
going to deliver to them. And I wanted to say, when we talk about those in our society who need help, those who are underprivileged, those at the lowest levels, we also have to realize that there are people who, because of something called pride, will not necessarily let us know what they need anyhow. So there are times when understanding the needs, prioritizing them, and making sure that we get the service delivered in a manner that everyone can access it becomes crucial as well. But as you say, trust to be restored. And the thing about broken trust is that it take a long time to fix, you know. It's easy to break. Easy to break. But they don't go back. It don't go back quickly.
No.
They don't go back quickly at all.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you, sir. It is always good to hear you. This is Down to Brass Tacks, and we'll be going to the regional roundup and more of your calls on this, the Friday edition. Stay with us.